You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people, this is the Maggie Dawn Show.
We, as Republicans, as Democrats, as independents, as liberals and conservatives,
get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
If it was bad before today, I cannot believe how much worse it has gotten.
If we don't band together and protest, our democracy will be gone.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
And I'm freaked the frickin' frack out.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth, here is Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody, and happy May Day. If you're one of those souls out there protesting today, I say congratulations to you for being the very literal embodiment of democracy in action. Tens of thousands gathering in Philadelphia's capital to hear Bernie Sanders speak. Protests across the country today, May Day, International Workers' Day, Law Day here in the United States. We may get to that if we have time. But at this moment, we have so much breaking news to cover that I want to start there. A number of news pieces breaking over the course of the last few hours. I want to start with Donald Trump's removal of Mike Walls as the national security advisor, which happened this morning. And then a few hours later, by a Truth Social post, Donald Trump announcing to the world that Mike Walls will be appointed as ambassador to the United Nations, an organization that Donald Trump has nothing but disdain for. Interesting to note on this piece is that Mike Walls, of course, will have to face Senate confirmation for his appointment to UN ambassador. This is absolutely critical. He will have to be sworn under oath and no doubt will be asked questions about Signalgate. Recall, of course, that Mike Walls was the one who created the Signal chat, adding, by accident, the editor of The Atlantic. And in that Signal chat, I'm going to call this Signalgate 1.0, Pete Hegseth then sharing war plans for the bombing of the Houthis in Yemen. Of course, Pete Hegseth doubling down with that national security breach and the incompetence in a different Signal chat, sharing that information with his wife, who has absolutely no business knowing that, as well as his brother and his lawyer. All of this putting our country at great risk. Technically speaking, appointment to the UN ambassadorship is a promotion. But to me, this seems like, let's get Mike Walls off the playing board. Somebody's head has to roll for all of this complete, demonstrable, daily circus-style incompetence from the national defense apparatus and security apparatus. So let's make it Mike Walls. He's pretty sure to get Senate confirmation to the UN ambassadorship. He was generally well-liked in Congress. So again, you leave Pete there, which... for a minute there, everybody, I thought, wow, is there a tiny little glimmer of accountability in the Trump administration? Oh, no, Maggie. No accountability. We'll leave the even more incompetent clown in charge of the Department of Defense. We'll take the second most incompetent clown other than Hegseth and Trump and the rest of them, and we'll give him a pseudo promotion. So that's what we've got going on, which should then beg the question, well, who the heck is going to be the national security advisor? Well, let's just give that to little Marco. Former Senator Marco Rubio, a man who today bears absolutely no resemblance to the senator he once was, a son of immigrants who has abandoned all of his prior values, policy positions to curry favor with MAGAverse. Yep, we'll add the national security advisor role to Marco Rubio's already expansive brief. Just by way of reminding you, Marco Rubio is supposed to be the Secretary of State. He's also the acting director of USAID and the acting director of the National Archives. I don't think you need to be, on the inside of how the federal government works to know that no one person can do all of these jobs. And it begs an even bigger question, which is this. The Secretary of State is supposed to be the person that flies all over the world, negotiates, has private meetings with heads of state, their mirror in a foreign government, trying to help build and sustain the security of our nation. Marco Rubio ain't going nowhere. He's going to be tied to the Oval Office. That's where he's going to be. So who exactly is doing all of that negotiation to help keep our country safe? Well, the answer is not really anybody, and maybe it's Steve Witkoff. This is the guy that's been helping with Ukraine. But I'm also going to remind you or share with you that Steve Witkoff's son, okay? Steve Witkoff's son today was on a stage in Dubai with Eric Trump, announcing yet another incredible layer of Trump corruption that absolutely boggles the mind. Haven't heard about this one yet? Don't worry. I will share all of that with you before we get out of the show today. We got lots going on. We're going to dig in a little bit more. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. If that wasn't enough, we've got another MAGA throwing their hat in the ring to become Wisconsin governor. So much going on today. My name is Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network, where we're all about real news and great conversation. You're going to want to join this one. I'm going to call this the Donald Trump Reign of Terror by Error. There is no element of Donald Trump's administration to date that is not riddled with evidence of both rampant corruption and utter complete incompetence. These things have very real world consequences. For example, reporting is saying that there are fewer intelligence briefings occurring at every single agency that is part of our national intelligence apparatus. They're just not happening. The briefings that are happening are shorter, less on details. Agents within our national security and law enforcement apparatus that had been assigned to terrorism task forces have been pulled off of intelligence analysis and investigations relating to, you know, places like Iran, organizations like Al-Qaeda and ISIS. They're not doing that work anymore because they have been reassigned under the guise, the label of terrorism, to the performative deportation debacle, which is literally on a daily basis being ruled by an increasing number of courts to be utterly and completely unconstitutional. And that brings me to the other bit of news that happened today as well. The same federal court judge in Texas who was appointed by Donald Trump made two absolutely critical rulings today. In the first, this Trump judge, as he would call him, ruled that folks facing deportation under Donald Trump's invocation of the Alien Enemies Act may proceed to challenge their deportations as a class, as a group, under habeas corpus. This is critical. Proceeding as a group, often with arguments or lawyers provided by the ACLU and other rights organizations, enables people facing deportation to receive, to get a hearing, to raise their concerns much earlier and more easily than if they each individually had to secure lawyers and challenge them. So that is a huge ruling. As if that wasn't enough, that one was in the morning. A couple hours later, news broke that that very same federal judge, the Trump judge, the guy that was appointed by Donald Trump in his first administration, has also concluded that deportations of people under the Alien Enemies Act is unconstitutional, is illegal, that his invocation of the Alien Enemies Act is badly founded. This, of course, makes sense. because the Alien Enemies Act has only ever been invoked when our country has been in an actual war. And indeed, that Trump judge in Texas basically said, yeah, when you read the act, it requires an active invasion by a foreign army or a war. And we don't have those things. So zooming way out, what have we got? We've got a crashing economy, global economic chaos, prices rising, our economy slowing down. Why? Not because of a natural disaster, some cyber attack of existential proportions, a global pandemic. No, because of one man's cruel folly. We have our national intelligence and national security apparatus in complete and total incompetent chaos, a reign of terror by error. Pete Hegseth, no one can argue that he's actually qualified to do that job. Nearly his entire senior staff, his closest advisors, people on Team MAGA, have either quit or been fired. Mike Walls, the national security advisor, yeah, he's gone. Leadership ranks within the Department of Defense, the National Security Agency, and our entire intelligence apparatus, no one knows what's going on. I've never worked at that level of the federal government. I worked for the federal government when I clerked for a federal appeals court judge after law school. But I worked in county government, which is not either by scale or just level of complexity comparable to the federal government. And I can tell you how challenging it is to ensure that departments continue to do their good work, that they're actually working for taxpayers and residents and citizens, that they're delivering what should be delivered on behalf of the constituents of that jurisdiction. This isn't easy stuff. And they're not jobs that you can do as performance art. You cannot BS your way through these things. You actually have to have some substantive knowledge. You have to be an administrator, an HR manager, oh yes, and a subject matter expert in that particular area. All of that is gone. This isn't a clown show, though they are clowns. What they're more worried about is taking photographs dressed up in flak jackets. They're more worried about makeup studios than whether or not our country is secure. And all of this to make this completely bogus pitch, this, again, performance art to their core voters, to the MAGA faithful, that yes, of course, we're making things safer. It's the exact opposite of that. And why is Congress silent? And by silent, I mean the MAGAs. Literally silent. For the last 2 days, in the House of Representatives, there have been markup committee meetings on the House Reconciliation Budget Bill. And in response to every single Democratic amendment, Republicans said not a word and voted unanimously to reject those amendments. I'm going to tell you why Republicans in Congress are so afraid, and it's not just about Donald Trump, and I'm going to tell you who they're really afraid of when we come back right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
The problem is not inside your head. The problem is real and getting worse every day. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining me. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm going to be joined by my colleague, Greg Gunderson, in our discussion this afternoon at the bottom of the hour. You're going to want to stick around for that. We may talk about what's going on in your neck of the woods. We may continue this discussion because today's news is filled with jaw droppers. Again, if you're just joining us, Mike Walls has been fired as the National Security Advisor. Marco Rubio, who is also the Secretary of State, is going to take on that role in addition to his other acting roles as the National Archivist and leading the Department USAID. This is not a job that can be done by one person. Marco Rubio not really doing his job as Secretary of State. This man isn't on a plane flying all over the place trying to negotiate and work with foreign leaders to help secure our nation. That job has fallen to Steve Witkoff. I'm going to get to the corruption there in a bit because Steve Witkoff's son on a stage today with Eric Trump announcing a new corrupt scheme by which the Trump family will enrich itself, largely based upon the fact that Donald Trump is in the White House and foreign governments and really, really rich people want to curry favor. And they have just opened up yet another avenue for people to pay to play. And it is out in the open. So again, Mike Walls out as National Security Advisor, getting a promotion question mark to become the United Nations ambassador. And just moments before we came back on air, breaking news, in a shocking moment in response to a question, ICE Director Tom Holman suggests that the Department of Homeland Security or ICE may start arresting Democratic mayors and governors for allegedly harboring immigration fugitives. Let's take a listen.
So the president signed an executive order just this week threatening to defund sanctuary cities for their policies. Why not just arrest the leaders who are harboring and shielding illegal aliens, actually terrorists, from deportation?
Wait to see what's coming.
If you couldn't hear that, he just says wait to see what's coming. They've already arrested Judge Hannah Dugan. On charges that I do not think will stand. I question whether they'll get a grand jury to indict. And even if they do, I'm going to put a marker down right now. No freaking way they get a conviction. They will not be able to prove the charges against Judge Dugan beyond a reasonable doubt. Now they're going to what? Start arresting mayors and governors and county executives? For what exactly? Disagreeing with the president? This is not normal. And by the way, this whole gambit about sanctuary cities and withholding funding, all of this nonsense, they tried that in Trump 1 and lost in virtually every single federal trial court and federal appeals court that reviewed their decision to try to yank critical funding from cities and counties. And by the way, this was critical funding for the purposes of law enforcement. These are all DOJ-administered grants that help fund your local police and sheriff's departments. That's what they're threatening to yank. And here's the trick on all of that. It's not legal for the federal government to require local law enforcement agencies to detain people suspected of being here illegally if all they have is a bogus piece of paper signed by God knows who from ICE that says, yeah, we think this might be someone here illegally. That is a Fourth Amendment violation, and local governments end up paying your tax dollars when they get sued for unconstitutionally detaining people. And it is clear, unequivocally so, that the federal government cannot require local jurisdictions to honor those detainer requests. They're called detainer requests because the 10th Amendment and the 4th Amendment prohibit the feds from requiring locals to do that. So if that's what the definition of a sanctuary city is, and that's the premise by which Donald Trump is going to start arresting people like Mayor Cavalier Johnson or Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, what in the hell is going on? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I am, every day is a new parade of horribles. But this is reaching absolute crisis points. Keep in mind, it is a Trump-appointed judge that today said the legal premise for these deportations of people to send them to a prison in a foreign country that could fairly be called a gulag, to rot and die with no lawyers, no access to any of their family, no phone calls, and certainly no due process, that the entire legal premise for that deportation scheme is unconstitutional. Have they no shame? And the answer to that is simply no. They most certainly do not have any shame. Cindy from Appleton, welcome to the show. What do you have to say this afternoon?
Well, this is starting to really, really, really worry me because we have an election coming up in 2026, and I have a feeling that the premise of all this is to scare the bejesus out of people going and voting for a Democrat in the polls.
Cindy, I don't think you're wrong. I mean, things that I would have never even thought possible are happening every day. And oh, by the way, remember me right after the inauguration, before talking about I'm afraid they're going to start skewing with the data. They're going to start manipulating information. We're not going to know where to get accurate information about what's going on. It's happening already. Who can we trust? You can trust us here at Civic Media to try to get it right as rain every day for you, admit when we get it wrong, and keep the real news and the great conversations coming. We're going to do just that with my colleague, Greg Gunderson. After these brief messages right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, join us, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Let's talk about Donald Trump's reign of terror by error. Welcome, everybody. Welcome back if you're rejoining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm joined for this next half hour by my colleague here at Civic Media, Greg Gunderson, for a segment that we usually call What's Going On in Your Neck of the Woods? But today, it's all of our necks in all of the woods being implicated by what I am going to call Donald Trump's reign of terror by error. I got to come up with something that rhymes that means corruption, too, to add it to the mix. If you haven't been plugged in all day long to the news, Mike Wall's out as National Security Advisor. Secretary of State Marco Rubio in. Mike Wall's also being promoted to Ambassador to the UN, which will require Senate confirmation, which is going to make for a very interesting Senate confirmation hearing, given that Mr. Wall's will need to be sworn in and will undoubtedly be asked a whole slew of questions about Signalgate 1.0. In addition, the same federal court judge today, Judge Rodriguez, in the Southern District of Texas, who is appointed by Donald Trump, has ruled in two different orders relating to Donald Trump's invocation of the Alien Enemies Act to try to deport people to a foreign gulag to rot and die without any due process, concluding, unsurprisingly, if you've read the Alien Enemies Act, that it cannot be used during peacetime, that it requires actually an invading army, you know, foreign adversary forces or a war to be invoked. And since we have neither, it is therefore not constitutionally usable to try to deport huge numbers of people, including citizens. Errors happening every day in this mass performative deportation effort. And also ruling that folks wanting to challenge their potential deportation can do so as a class. They do not need to proceed individually. Now, what's interesting is that because of the Supreme Court ruling a few weeks ago, about a month ago, maybe give or take, 9-zip that required due process for people being deported under the Alien Enemies Act, that ruling also required that those cases had to be brought in each individual federal court jurisdiction that oversees, or the jurisdiction in which the person who is proposed to be deported currently sits. So you have to bring those cases in numerous federal courts. So that ruling from Judge Rodriguez, the Trump Judge Rodriguez today on both of those issues, the class being approved and saying you cannot use the Alien Enemies Act to deport people, that's going to have to be decided by other federal courts. His ruling, most importantly, applies in the Southern District of Texas, from which a lot of these deportations were occurring. That's why his court was one of the first and the first to rule on this. And just another little tidbit of info. The last person to serve as both National Security Advisor and Secretary of State was Henry Kissinger. Whatever you can say about Marco Rubio, he is not Henry Kissinger. Whatever you might say about Kissinger, he ain't Henry Kissinger. This ain't good. This is bad, 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 bad. Very bad. Gray, from your neck of the woods, what did you make of all of this incredible news today?
I'm just shuddering at the fact that we're using Henry Kissinger as any sort of bar for anything at all. I'm not grateful anybody passes away, but the wasn't missing that was relevant. We're so far into uncharted territory that it almost feels familiar. We're in paradoxically unfamiliar territory at this point. Like, that's one thing that I'm growing to appreciate, Maggie, is that information that was freely given is no longer seen as freely given. And I don't think I've seen that said out loud yet. Things like whether Marco Rubio is occupying the position as an interim person, or is he actually, like, that's something that without even thinking, the Biden administration, other previous administrations would have said, yes, we're naming an acting or interim individual. That label has not been used. And yet at the same time, I wouldn't be surprised if 2 weeks down the road, Rubio is no longer in that position and someone else is. And if there was some clarity behind who that person was, that might reveal some things to us.
It's an interesting, somewhat technical point, Gray, but I say it's interesting because back in Trump one of the things that legal scholars and those that watch these things very carefully were concerned about was Trump's overuse of acting in interim appointments to get around the confirmation process. Isn't that quaint? It's like as we've slipped further and further down this terrible existential rabbit hole, I keep thinking back to myself, oh gosh, remember when we were really worried about Scott Pruitt running the EPA and the fact that he wanted a skiff built in his office? I called it the Superman phone booth. Oh, wasn't it cute that what we were worried about was Donald Trump paying off a former porn star so he didn't get in trouble with Melania? Like, when these were our greatest concerns, Donald Trump's overuse of interim and acting appointments to get away from the Senate's confirmation authority. Here's the other thing I wanted to ask you about, Gray. Now we're going to go to the phones. You want to join our conversation this half hour? You are more than welcome. 855-752-4842. Over the last couple of days, there have been markup committee meetings in the House of Representatives. Markups to the House's budget reconciliation bill, which proposes to cut $1.5 trillion from the federal government. A huge chunk of that, more than half, being a mandated cut of $880 billion that has to come out of the House Energy and Commerce Committee, which would result by mathematical necessity, because Republicans, despite what they may try to do, can't actually make up new math, though perhaps I'll just wait until tomorrow and that'll happen too. It is going to result in existential cuts to Medicaid. They're going to say, oh, we're not cutting it, we're just changing the eligibility criteria. Right. But it will be massive cuts to Medicaid. The reconciliation bill moving through, the House Republicans put in a bill or a portion in that budget reconciliation bill to literally prevent federal courts from entering contempt orders. Right. So further insulating the president, further reducing the power of another branch of government, further surrendering their own power. And in response to every single amendment introduced in various committees by Democrats, Republicans in the House said not a word, not one thing. And they voted down over the last 2 days every single amendment unanimously without saying a word. It is a complete and total abrogation of all of their duties as a separate but supposedly co-equal branch of government. The Senate yesterday failing to even pass on a tie vote of 49-49, a bill which would have surely died in the House, but would have ended Donald Trump's declaration of various emergencies, of which he has declared eight, somewhat constitutionally suspect, in my opinion. But great, what do you make of the overwhelming silence from congressional House members as they contemplate a tanking global economy, a likely recession, and huge existential cuts to Medicaid?
Not surprising that it's what scares me the most, but I think all of the above are marks of what Donald Trump and his team were up to while Joe Biden was in office. Yes, he was spending a lot of time on Twitter and at Mar-a-Lago, but he was also putting other people in charge of planning things. You want another mark of the planning that was done? How many press secretaries did he go through during Trump 1? And here we have the one, Levitt staying. I would put money in Vegas that Levitt stays throughout the entirety of Trump 2, whatever length that has. And
well, because she'll say anything and she's pretty. She got the memo on the blonde waves and the cross. You know, it's like
they held auditions.
No. Right. Check. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All the green checks in the boxes. But like, I think this, I mean, and not to diminish the seriousness of everything else. I think what we're seeing here, I mean, I hate to go back to it because it's supposed to be a mark of us being fools that we even acknowledge the phrase Project 2025. But wouldn't it be incredible if there was a streamlined plan to do exactly everything that we were warned and warned others about? And oh, my goodness, aren't we following it exactly?
Well, the thing that blows my mind especially is right now the overwhelming silence from both former national security and defense officials and the overwhelming silence from CEOs and business leaders. Shame on you. Now is the time. Like, the emperor has no clothes, not a whit, not a stitch on. And like, the world is literally burning. Now is the time to find your spine, stand up no matter what the personal cost, and make your voice heard. And I'm going to tell... Let me go to the phones, because I promised everybody I would tell them what congressional Republicans are afraid of. And here's the hint here. It's not Donald Trump. The reason that they have been uniformly and unanimously silent over the last couple of days is because they are very afraid. And I'm going to tell you who they're afraid of in just a moment. Betsy from Fort Atkinson, say hello to Gray. What would you like to share this afternoon?
Hey, Maggie, you remember me?
I don't know if I do, but it's nice to see or hear you again, Betsy. Thanks for calling in.
Yes, good to hear you, Maggie. You have a great show. Yeah, I'm usually Betsy from Madison.
Oh, Betsy from Madison. Today, Betsy from Fort Atkinson. Well, thanks for calling in. What would you like to share?
Yeah. I'm just terrified. And Trump was a dictator his last term.
Yes.
And I would call the White House, and I said that, and they hung up on me. Yeah. I just don't know what we're going to do.
Betsy, here's what I'm going to tell you. You keep paying attention. You keep raising your voice. You keep voting. You keep having the uncomfortable conversations in your houses of worship, your corner taverns, your grocery stores, and share your concerns with those that you love. This isn't about right or left anymore. It's about right or wrong. I've been calling it the Trump reign of terror by error. We've got some great submissions on the text line. Dan from Wausau calling it the corruption eruption. We got to take notes, folks. Maybe we'll have like a t-shirt off. Whoever comes up with the best tagline for whatever the hell this is, which is not functional government or functional democracy, will win a prize. Maybe we should do this. This would be fun. Dan from Wausau calling it the corruption eruption. Scott texting in from WMDX saying he calls it the philandering felonies, felonious felonies and failure. We'll figure out what that is. I love it. Thanks, Scott from WMDX. John from Madison saying, Maggie, if the Tren de Agua gang invasion is the war, then let's go after Trump and his minions for war crimes. He's declared it and is now sending kidnapped POWs to death penalty gulags. Certainly sounds familiar. The other thing that I wanted to share was this. While they want to cut $880 billion from the Energy and Commerce Committee, requiring a $600-plus billion cut from Medicaid, here's what House Republicans also snuck into their budget reconciliation bill. One, further giving Donald Trump free reign of terror by error, restricting courts from entering contempt orders, trying to sanction the Trump administration. They also stuck in nearly $1 billion for what? One-time bonuses for people effectuating immigration raids, which will equate to approximately $40,000 per person. I want you all to absorb that one with me. Pay to play, anybody? Payment to keep your mouth shut? Perhaps. We're going to go back to the phone lines after these brief messages, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. And right when we come back, I'm going to tell you who House Republicans are really afraid of, and it ain't Donald Trump. Keep it locked right here with Greg Gunderson and me, Maggie Dawn, on the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm joined by each and every one of you and my colleague Greg Gunderson for this last segment of the hour. At 5 o'clock, we're going to be joined by Joe Radazovich from the Center for American Progress Action Fund. We'll be doing another review of Donald Trump's first 100 days. Can't wait to get Joe's impression of the incredible, insane news of the day. I've been talking about the fact that House Republicans, especially, but I'm just going to say the MAGAs in Congress writ large, have completely abandoned all of their most fundamental job duties. But don't worry, Rojo's going to have another hearing about 9/11, and Congresswoman Anna Paulina Luna is going to convene another committee about the Kennedy assassination. You know, paying attention to the things that are really impacting American pocketbooks and safety. They are very afraid. And they are very afraid, not of Donald J. Trump, but they are very afraid of you. And that's the place that I want you to draw some hope from. No matter where you may be hearing my voice, the MAGAs that are elected officials are afraid of you. And they're afraid that if you pay attention, or if you have been paying attention, that you continue to pay attention, that you will care about your neighbors, that you care about due process, that you care about Medicaid, that you care about having clean air and clean water, that you care about corruption at a scale the likes of which we have never seen before in our nation's history. And every march, all of the marches nationwide on this May Day, International Workers Day, Law Day in America, they are afraid of you. And every single House Republican in a purple district is terrified. So while the authoritarian, the corrupter in chief, Donald Trump's reign of terror by error, the gross incompetence, the mediocre middle-aged white guys failing up and up and up, all of that is happening, and they're going to continue to lie about it to you because they are terrified of you. Congressman Derek Van Orten, terrified of you. Tony Weed, terrified of you. Tom Tiffany, they are all terrified of you. That's why they no-show their town halls. You ultimately hold the power. You ultimately will get to say whether or not this level of insecurity, of chaos, of corruption, of overt cruelty on a daily basis is acceptable. Let's take one of our favorite callers, Mark from Prairie du Sac. Say hello to Gray. How are you doing today, and what would you like to share?
I think you got Mark.
Oh, yes, Mark, go ahead.
I heard the tune. Yeah, I mean, it just more and more the corrupt, absolute corruption of this administration, the blatant violations of the Emoluments Clause on a daily basis. And let's remember, it's not just the president who is subject to it. It's every single elected official in this country is subject to the Emoluments Clause. Anybody in the Office of Public Trust, if you're working for the White House, I think you're probably...
Yes, you are.
For the Emoluments Clause. And it just strikes me that the anti-federalists, who they're afraid that the president would become what Donald Trump is becoming. I mean, that's what, you know, Hamilton said, no, it's not really going to be that. We don't intend the president to be a king. But this man is indeed, you know, that Strawn is, and as Hamilton was illustrating what the anti-federalists felt in Federalist 67, that, you know, sitting on a, you know, surrounded by minions and mistresses, and with his and we now have to tremble, I think, at terrific visages of Trump's murdering janissaries that are going to be going out. I mean, that
it's sort of like, at what fresh hill is this, is the line in my head on a nearly daily basis. Here's some additional breaking news. Stephen Miller today made this comment: children will be taught to love America, to be patriots. Children will be taught civic values for schools that want federal taxpayer funding. So as we close the Department of Education and provide funding to states, we're going to make sure these funds are not being used to promote communist ideology. How about authoritarian ideology? How about groupthink? How about racism? How about homophobia? How about xenophobia? How about warmongering? How about the rewarding of incompetence and corruption? Are those American civic values, Stephen Miller, the walking undead? Gray, I'm going to take a breath. Your thoughts, my friend.
In one day, we have Henry Kissinger and McCarthyism as bars to measure the current situation by. And that's, wow. But Stephen Miller's comment, it inspired, for once, instead of a lot of anger and heat, it inspired some quiet thought. I got a little fumey about that. And I thought, I think I must have heard it somewhere as a quote, but the phrase occurred to me: patriotism will never be what makes any country great. If you start by creating the patriotism, by manufacturing it in any way, let alone indoctrinating children in school, you will not end up with a great product. You will end up with perverted and insecure versions of adults walking around in adult bodies. What makes a country great, or like, a great country is what makes patriotism. It works fundamentally exactly the opposite way. Give people something to be proud of, and there you've got a logical relationship between the country and the people who are proud of it, and the people and the country itself, and the pride. Like, you have suddenly a love triangle that works, as opposed to some weird manipulated version with the values turned up in all the wrong directions. I stutter to even express what I think about what Stephen Miller is getting at there. Like,
it's truly sad. Like a faith in God, true patriotism must be through choice and free thinking. Otherwise, yes, it's nothing but mind control. Talk about cancel culture? My goodness. When we come back, we'll be joined by Joe Radazovich from the Center for American Progress. We'll get his thoughts on news of the day and Trump's first 100 days. My name's Maggie Dawn. For Greg Gunderson and I, keep it locked right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.